BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hi, this is Jane Garvey. It's Tuesday, the 20th of August, 2019. It is day two of Listener Week on Woman's Hour. And so everything we're talking about on the programme throughout the week has been suggested by you. There's more on the delights of being a single woman on the programme today, because so many of you want to talk about that. Now, when we talked to Kathy Burke about her Channel 4 series All Woman, she talked about being single and how much she enjoyed it. And Anne Parks was our guest as part of Listener Week yesterday. Anne got divorced as she headed for her golden wedding anniversary, and many people were inspired by hearing from her. Danielle tweeted to say, "Positive woman who chose to divorce in her later years, reinforcing my long-held view, it's better to be on your own than to settle for a relationship which doesn't make you happy." Well, that's true, of course, but it doesn't mean that being single is necessarily easy. Many of you wanted us to talk about being single this week, including a listener called Karen, who says, "I'm a single childless woman. Right, that's that off my chest. I'm really, really thrilled that the world, or at least a Woman's Hour contributor, has woken up to the fact that we're not all sectionable, fit for dunking, or worthy only of cast-off pity. I am 60, single and childless. I have many friends in the same situation, and we have a great life. I'm a nurse with a great career and career opportunities and projects which are likely to keep me active, healthy and fulfilled until I'm 70. Well, Karen then went on to explain that she's now working in France, so she wasn't able to come on the programme today, but we do have other women willing to talk about this and willing to talk about the positive side of being single. So I'll introduce them now. BB Lynch is with us, 53, presenter at BBC Sussex and Surrey, host of the station's WHIPS programme. BB, that's right, isn't it?
That's correct.
Now, tell me a bit about WHIPS. What's that?
You're a whip. Women
so
who are
am.
Hot. You're chief whip.
Oh,
women who
you.
Are hot, intelligent and in their prime. How about that?
Intelligent. Well, we'll leave that. Yeah, but I'll settle for some of the rest of it. Emily Hill is here, novelist, author of Bad Romance. Welcome to the programme, Emily. And you are in your early 30s.
Yes.
Okay. That's right.
No, you said slightly massaging my age there. I'm 36.
36? That's
I'm
fine.
I'm happy for that.
All right. And Joy is a listener in our Nottingham studio. Hi, Joy.
Hi.
Tell us a bit about your life, Joy.
Yeah, well, I'm 42. I'm single. I do have a child. He's 9 years old. And I was married when I was pregnant with him. But I had him at my mum and dad's place because I had to leave my husband at the time. So I've been a single mum since I was 6 months pregnant, really. And that's me.
And do you feel remotely judged, Joy?
I have to say that in my own head, before I gave birth, I thought I would be, and I was judging myself almost very harshly. But the reality of it was, when I got out into the world with my little boy, people couldn't have been more positive. Mm. And frankly, you know, didn't bat an eyelid, which was great.
So where does this perceived negativity about your singledom come from?
I don't know. It's hard to say whether it's a kind of an inbuilt thing that women, you know, it's just in our DNA almost over the years, in novels, in films, and maybe we're sort of, we just feel like that, I guess. But
yeah,
but then when the reality hits you as a person,
yeah,
you can find it so very, very different.
I mean, you're right about the novels, but that's sort of Jane Austen territory, isn't it?
Well,
Emily, what would you say about that?
Well, I think that's right. It is very, very embedded in our culture. That's why I actually started writing about single women as a phenomenon, because my first book, Bad Romance, it's short stories, and they're about all sorts of women, but most especially single women, because I don't think that we are represented in the culture enough. I think what's happened is when single women were new in the 90s, there was Carrie Bradshaw, there was all the girls in Sex and the City, there was also Bridget Jones. Bridget Jones is married with a baby now, all the Sex and the City, because, and there's no, and then what we have now, we had girls and they're all in their 20s and it was, I just couldn't relate to it at all. And then we have Fleabag, who's this kind of terrifying vision of what a single woman might be. And cultural representations of women through single women throughout history. I mean, you know, now like you will sort of, people will say, oh, you know, you don't get a cat, you know, don't get a cat. And it's like, why shouldn't I have a cat? If I like cats. But it's this kind of vision of women as witches. And, you know, we used to get burnt at the stake and now, you know, we're suffered to go on all these horrible internet dates because society kind of expects us to at least be trying to get married.
All right, Bibi, what do you say? Trying to get married. Go on.
Trying to get married. I think, I mean, single and childless is the double whammy of pity, the poor Jen head tilt, the pity. I was at a funeral. Listen to this. I was at a funeral.
Yeah, I can't believe this story, but carry on. Yep.
Yeah, and a woman who apparently I'd met before and I don't recall came up to me. My sister had to hold me back and she said to me, so, did you get married? And I went, no. And then she went, did you have children? And I said, no. And she went, oh well, well done anyway. It's not for everyone. So we're at a funeral.
Well done on continuing to breathe.
Breathing. Yeah. Just breathing. Yeah. It's so extraordinary how we are judged. And I think that's proven by that research that came out from an LSE professor recently who said that childless and single women are the happiest in society. That went viral.
because
we felt that we were being acknowledged. But I actually found it really patronising because that proved that added to it.
What do you mean? Because, by the way, that wasn't new. I remember being taught that in psychology at university back in the 80s.
That we're the happiest?
Yeah, that actually marriage was good for men, but not psychologically not brilliant for women.
Well, I think it was seen as an insight and an explosion of insight because we're told we're not, we're pitied and we're judged. And yeah, if you get a cat, you know, you've gone into the crazy territory. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand the head tilt. I don't, because guess what? I'm not the one. I can't see that someone with 2.4 children and being married to a man or woman is any necessarily more happy than I am, because I'm not sitting here wanting to kill someone because of the sound they make when they eat a baguette. You know, I have a really great life. I'm straddling happy, but I'm not allowed to be happy because I'm told I'm not allowed to be happy.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that's the worst thing about it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I follow you on Twitter. You're very funny.
Sorry about the language.
Yeah. Well, you can be. yeah, there is that. But you can be a bit bleak sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You acknowledge there is another side to this, isn't there?
Oh, but there's another side to being married and a parent as well.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But that's not allowed. And the reason we're not shown that because of all the fake book posts, and that's where I think the, and I will call it bigotry, actually. I think that's where the prejudice comes from, in that people are maybe threatened. I mean, you know, I'd love to be in love. That doesn't mean I want to be married. Because I can't commit to a shampoo. So I don't know if I could be with someone forever and ever. But you know, we're told these fake book posts kind of tell us that life is this and life is that, but we all know the reality isn't that. But they're perpetuating a myth that doesn't help them or doesn't help us. It's so damaging. Can I say one thing? The people that I interview a lot of young people, and they seem to have a really great take on this because they're polyamorous, they're pansexual, they're in thruples, ladies. So that's a man and a woman, and then they've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend. This is extraordinary. They're exhausted, but they're happy because they don't have the confines of the role models that I feel that we're still suffering.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, if you're in a throuple, and I haven't got the energy, obviously, but I mean, doesn't that mean that possibly two people could annoy you with the way they eat a baguette? I mean, let's be honest. It's not Emily, what would you say?
I agree entirely. I don't understand that urge at all. But I do completely agree that, you know, it's difficult to, one of the issues that we face, I think, as single women is if we want to have children, I would love to have children, that becomes a major problem. And there's this phenomenon that isn't talked about, I think, because we're women, of social infertility. It's like, I agree completely. I would love to fall in love.
What's social? Oh, I see.
Social infertility. You just can't find anybody to fall in love with and have a baby with. And this is not, I mean, I think, and then we're all blamed, you know, for the falling birth rate. And that's entirely our fault, rather than actually it's not finding a man who, you know, wants what we want and can give that to us or would want to give that to us. And I think the thing is there are many, many upsides to being single, and those aren't talked about either. Talking about things going viral, I did a piece for The Guardian about the price of being single and how we're kind of penalised against there, and that went around the world. I had emails from women in Iraq saying, thank you for pointing this out.
Well, and this just for anybody who doesn't know, what is that actually? What do you mean by that?
The cost of being single? Well, okay, so we're penalised in the tax system in terms of if we live on our own, then it's we get a small decrease in council tax, like the single person supplement. But in terms of how much we're paying in comparison with a married couple, it's a big price. And then there's just so many other ways, like even the National Trust. You know, if you're in a couple, it's cheaper to go to the National Trust. But the thing is I think that it's important to kind of celebrate what we can do and what... And our kind of abilities to be happy, just as it's important to also admit that there's a downside, like there is a downside to marriage, for instance. One of my friends said, it's not just a case of, in terms of creativity and what you want to do with your life and having things that you want to achieve, it's not just the pram by the door, it's the toothbrush by the sink. And I think that we do tend to, in relationships, we've been kind of taught to put a man first. And so maybe one of the things that's so attractive about being single to women is the chance to actually go, you know, we're only alive so long. I've got things I want to achieve and I can concentrate on that.
And this is about me.
Yes.
Yeah. OK, no, I get that. And Joy, I know at the moment you're prioritising your young son. He is only young.
Yeah.
Of course, he won't be staying at home with you forever.
No, that's right. But I completely agree with what I've just heard, you know, in terms of finding that I have time if I wish to, which I do, you know, as well as running my own business and looking after my son, I have time to go and play tennis.
Yeah.
And paint and printmake and go to life drawing classes. All things which, you know, if I had to stay at home and do ironing, God forbid, or, you know, cook huge family meals, I couldn't do.
Joy on the real pleasures of her single life. And Emily is still here. So too is Bibi. Right, Sabina emailed to say, or tweeted actually, I think, I was widowed after 44 years of marriage and I was actually dreading being on my own, but it gave me a chance to discover myself. Solitude in moderation is a wonderful thing. Otherwise, I've got my friends and my garden, I've got my hobbies, my time and freedom to pursue them. I am content. Jessica says, having been single for most of my 50 years and very happily so in my late 40s, I found those that were most uncomfortable and judgmental of this were women in long-term, unhappy relationships. Now, Emily, you're nodding.
I am nodding, yes.
But you recognise that?
Well, the thing is, it's like you never know what's going on in somebody's marriage, but people will come up to you routinely whenever you see them, even at funerals, apparently, as we heard.
Yes.
And sort of ask, you know, about your single status, and you'd never, ever dream of turning around to them and saying, you know, how often do you sleep with your husband? You know, or anything that would allude to what's going on.
Is he still using the Viagra?
Exactly.
I'm so horrible.
But you're sort of like, and especially like even young girls, you know, in their 20s, they're sort of asked, you know, like you'd ask about the weather, you know, about their marriage plans, you know, in the future, or whether they want to have children in a way that, you know, wouldn't be said to a man. But also like you're kind of being asked to explain very, very personal decisions to which you might not have even made yet, which I find, but I mean, I don't want to be too critical about that because often it's, you know, people just trying to make conversation. But it is, I think that because you're single, I think there is, it's a little bit, we're so accepting of alternative lifestyle choices in every single way. And I think the one remaining thing, maybe because all the other lifestyle choices, like there's gay marriage, so that's kind of, acceptable and brilliant and wonderful and everybody has the same rights to get married and that's great, but that kind of the opposite side of that is like you just are considered more weird if you're single, especially if you're happy being single. If you're kind of running around after men in sort of a chicklet style way,
but that's perceived to be doing the right thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Isn't that right, Bibi, that people understand if you're in hot pursuit of a, you know, in heteronormative relationships, a man, they get that. It's the women who say, oh, I've pulled up the drawbridge and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I think it's because you're kind of shining a light on their decisions, which again we're not allowed to comment on. It's what you're saying about the most personal questions are allowed to be asked of you if you are single and childless. You know, why haven't you had children? Why are you still single? You know, why are you talking to me? Don't bring this stuff to me. It's, do you know what I think the worst thing is that you're made to feel shame around it. You're made to feel like you've made the wrong decisions. You might have made the best decision for you. That's what I don't understand about this. I don't have these judgments about other people. I really try not to, but people seem to be A, happy to do it, and B, really fierce with it as well. I mean, Joe, the childless thing is a huge factor for me, and social infertility is a huge deal. There's a woman called Jodie Day who
She's been on the program. Yeah,
she's fantastic, and she's the founder of Gateway Women, which is an organisation, it's a support group for women who are childless not by choice, childless by circumstance. And she talks about pronatalism, and I'd never heard of that word, and now it's all I have in my head, because pronatalism is worshipping at the altar of parenthood, and there is this perception that you are more if you're a parent, you're better, you're suddenly almost a deity as a mother rhetoric, hardworking families rhetoric, and that spills over to being married or in a long-term relationship too. And it's just so unhelpful. It's pressure for the people who are parents and in long-term relationships, because they have to live up to what they see as the dream. Because if they're unhappy, why are they unhappy? Because they've got the best thing ever. And it's really depressing and horrible for people who don't have that, because we feel like, as Beyonce said, I found myself when I had children. Well, that's very helpful, Beyonce. Thank you so much. Because that makes the rest of us feel like we're nothing. We're all something. We're all brilliant. I find it extraordinary that we can't be allowed in 2019, and exactly as you say, when we're trying to find equality everywhere else, yeah, it's not allowed here. And it seems so normal and so easy to get that, you know, I'm just not married. That's it.
Beyonce has so much to answer for in a certain way, because she's held up as this amazing feminist figure. And it's like, she's very, very married. She's very, very got the children. You know, the single ladies, he liked it, so he put a ring on it. And then the single ladies, uh-oh. I mean, that's basically what we do. It's like, uh-oh.
And what was going on with Becky with the great hair or the good hair? You know, she's also,
I think I was
going
to say that. Some would say she's made a few compromises. But then who doesn't? In any sort of relationship. By the way, somebody took issue, I can't remember who it was, someone on Twitter took issue with your, I think you said something about Fleabag.
Yes.
That terrifying image of, and somebody's asked, what did you mean by that?
Well, I think the interesting thing about Fleabag is, first of all, she's called Fleabag. She doesn't have a name, and she kind of goes around in this absolutely desperate state. The other thing is I've got so many problems with Fleabag, and I know this was going to make me violently, violently unpopular.
No, I'm interested.
The first series of Fleabag was all about, for me, the most beautiful and wonderful thing about being single is how much time I can still devote to my female friends. And this kind of, it was just a horrific vision of a woman, you know, who her best friend, you know, she's such a sex maniac. And that's the other thing that we get. Fear as women. It's like, I think a lot of women think that we're after their husbands, or if they're not, or their sons, or, you know, or any kind of, you know, because we're supposed to be these desperate figures who just want a man. Whereas what's, I think, more empowering is actually accepting Rebecca Traister, who did this brilliant book called All the Single Ladies, you know, pointing out that there's more single women alive today than at any point in history. We have our freedom, we have choice, and we're not really examined. We're not really, you know, looked at as like a new way to live, or why we might want to live there. And I suppose
no, because it threatens something.
Yeah, I mean, one of my, so I've, I, the most popular, there's two that are most popular of my short stories, one where this woman goes to a party dressed all in head to toe in leopard print, and that's very terrifying. Leopard print is very terrifying. That's just being single times to the max, you know, like terrifying woman. So that she go, anyway, it's unfolds in disaster. It's all online. It's quite funny, hopefully. and the other one is this literally like a sort of my solution to how to be single at parties, because it's single at parties, you have to have a whole repertoire of retorts in your arsenal. So as a single woman confronted by, because we still haven't got past the Bridget Jones, that classic line of Bridget Jones, when she's at a dinner party, everybody else has a partner, and you get asked, why are there so many single women your age, Bridget? And you know, it's like, and you just have to say, well, there's scales under my clothes, you know, like it's, and also the things like, I, you know, there's plenty more fish in the sea, you'll get told, and then so I always think, well, you could, well, but yeah, the cod stock decline is alarming. Sperm whales are endangered species. All, you know, you're looking in the wrong places. Well, I tip my handbag out, I don't think he's in the fridge, but, you know, like all these kind of things. And people are being kind, they're being nice, but there's just this kind of, there's this level of being happy in yourself that they don't get. And I love the fact that Women's Hour listeners all said, yeah, let's talk about being happy and being single, because I really think it's something that we need to talk about more.
Bibi, the trouble is, this conversation, there isn't an equivalent programme for men like no. Women's Hour. I know Men's Hour exists sometimes on Five Live. It's not on all the time. But single men, would single, I don't know.
I think single men get a bad rap, you know, because okay. At least we've got exactly what you say, at least we've got a place to talk about it, and amongst our friendship groups we do as well. Mm. Because I write a lot about being childless. I've had such moving tweets and conversations with men who are single without kids, who, one man who won't go to any social event now because he can't face it. He can't face the conversation. He can't face, because it's emasculating as well as anything else. You know, we feel hardwired as women to have children. I think men feel hardwired in that kind of I am man way to produce several. You know, it's across the board awkward. What you're saying about that, where we're seen as predatory, we're seen as cheap as well, as up for it. You know, and I mean, the whips thing was, I wrote a piece for Stella, and I was writing about that younger men find older women attractive. Brilliant. And I wrote, but I didn't want to write about cougars, because I really don't like that expression, because it's predatory, and it's like, it's not that complimentary to the man or the woman. So I came up with the acronym WHIPS, and that can be used across the board here. It's powerful, and it's, you know, it's not just about relationships, it's about attitude. And if you are single and you want to do whatever you want to do, you are allowed to do that. But there's no, as you say, there's no equipment for men, I don't think. I feel sorry for men in this case.
All right. Bibi, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming on. Emily, good to have you on the programme as well.